To the Wong Long being concerned.
716-5555.
KNZR.
God bless America! And welcome back. It's the Jazz McKay Radio Extravaganza at 1560 AM and 97.7 FM KNZR. Boy, did you see the video footage of the riot in Berkeley over the weekend. On Saturday, it was crazy. And the cops, I guess, from what I hear, didn't do a damn thing. They just sort of stood there and watched it. The so-called anti-fascist, which is ironic, I think they call themselves that, considering the fact that they are the fascist, as they're trying to shut down free speech across the country. The so-called anti-fascist clashing with Trump supporters. And quite a bit of ass-whooping going on in the streets of Berkeley. We'll talk about that later on in the program as well. This is about Steve Stevens. This is the man over the weekend yesterday on Facebook, shot and killed an innocent 74-year-old man while he live-streamed it on Facebook. We'll talk with a private investigator about how to find how they're working to find this guy. All that and more is coming up. Right now in studio, it's Dr. Mensing from The Practice. Doc, how are you?
I'm doing good.
So, listen, I saw today, or I heard on Rush Limbaugh, that there is a plan, and it's just an idea they're floating around out there, about altering the way Social Security is paid for by implementing a VAT tax, which I've always been opposed to.
Value-added tax.
Yeah, value-added tax, and to do away with the FICA tax. And as Rush put it, it tends to make it appear to be more of an entitlement program than something we pay into. What are your thoughts on that, real quick?
That's interesting. My number one question I have when I hear these kind of things is, number one is, right now Social Security is something we pay in. I think it's 12%. I think half the employer, half of the. If you really look at it, the employee is coming all out of his potential wages. But
right.
Anyhow, right now it has been sold. It's sold over the years, from what I understand. From what I ascertain, it's been sold as, I put so X amount of dollars in.
Right.
All right. And down the road, I get this benefit, no matter whether I'm poor, rich, whatever. All right. Now, there's a few little issues with that, but that's really the proposal. What I wonder, I just hearing this, for the first time, kind of, as you were talking, what goes to my mind is saying, are we changing this from something that is that I pay into, that I get a benefit down the road.
A contribution,
all that. Is this more of a welfare issue?
Right. That's all right? Exactly right.
I don't know how that works. Is this going to be something that, if I now fund it another way, is it going to become a welfare issue? And that's a totally different direction than we've gone before. And that's what goes through my mind. I really don't know that much about it.
I'm wondering how this would affect Medicare. Medicaid, Medi-Cal, things
know.
Like that.
I really don't know, Jazz. From what I hear, somebody was telling me, and I really don't know much about it. I mean, but somebody this morning was saying to me that it's not going to affect Medicare, all right, at all. I have a lot of issues.
That's what I'd heard too. That it wouldn't have any effect on Medicare.
I have a talk I give on what I would do if I went to Washington. What I mean, and how we would change it.
Well, what would you do if you were, director of, Health and Human Services or one of these?
Well, I have a different view, Jazz, of medical care, all right? Just it's a different way of looking at it. I personally think our system is broke, all right?
Oh, yeah.
It is broke. I look at it from being a physician who was trained in Canada, all right, and was licensed in Canada and practiced on both sides of the border and know the Canadian system, the American system, and much of what the English system is like, mm-hmm. and the pros and cons of it. And I think we are stuck in this country. Short and simple, Jazz. Today, medicine is broke. If you have no insurance, you're okay because you get Medi-Cal, all right, or Medicaid, and you get it for free. If you have a good job and your employer pays for it, although your employer is getting soaked for it, believe me,
mm-hmm.
and you're okay, all right? But there's a vast number in the middle, especially with the Affordable Care Act, that just literally got taken. All right, they've averaged, you know, in person that comes in to see me, and that joins the practice. Most of our patients have insurance, but they join the practice because the insurance doesn't work for them. They have high deductibles, all right? They have high copays, and it is not practical for them. I think, I'm not for socialized medicine, all right? And yet, I personally think we should advocate for it. Listen carefully. Mm. And your eyes are going big, right? Yeah.
But explain that one.
Yeah, here's the issue, Jazz. We can't, once, I have never seen ever that we, now that we've given away free health care for everybody, I have never seen that we're ever to take a social program and take it away. I've never seen a program that has happened.
I completely agree with you. That's never happened.
It's never happened.
Just like there's no such thing as a temporary tax. All taxes become permanent.
Exactly. All right. So here, it more comes from a point of just realism. We spend $1.3 trillion today on healthcare in the United States, all right? We have, I think, the seventh, not the best in the country, in the world, but I think the seventh best in the world, all right? We're not even getting the best for that money, and yet we're spending the largest per capita in the world to get that, all right? I look at the system is broke, and the system is broken. Here's how I look at the system. Number one, Jazz, we have to solve the malpractice issue, all right? And I have, you know, you can look, we've talked about this before. You know, there's studies saying the increase of malpractice is 1-2% on the cost of medicine, all right? And that's true if you look at the actual settlements. But that is a fraction of the cost of all the preventative or the cover my butt medicine that's done to prevent lawsuits. That's about doubles the cost, maybe triples the cost just right there.
Is it true or is it not true that malpractice insurance costs are different in all 50 states?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. All 50 states. We have actually, California is not a bad state. I mean, it's not the worst or the best, but we have not the worst malpractice.
I hear Florida is really high.
Oh my gosh. Years ago when I practiced in Florida, when I did my first residency in Florida, I spent 6 years in Florida. I counted myself lucky to get out of there with no lawsuits. And what was happening in Florida at that time is that one out of every four doctors every year was getting sued. All right, one out of every four. And what would happen is they would file. It could be a nonsense suit. All right, and they would file, and it was cheaper for the insurance companies to say, "Well, we'll pay you off for $20,000, let it go away," instead of fighting it for $150,000. All right, and getting away with it. All right, and it was just over and over all these useless lawsuits. All right, now I don't know if that's still true over there. I really haven't kept up, but that's sort of the picture of what's bad with legal things. But here's how I look at with legal things. If you look in Canada, all right, when I went to medical school, and I'll never forget this situation. In Canada, my malpractice today up there is, I think, $365 a year, all right, for primary care versus $1,000 a month here kind of thing.
You're right, right.
All right. Now, when I was up in medical school in Edmonton, and a bunch of there was a surgeon that screwed up. All right, just short and simple, he committed malpractice, and this woman, this is about a 40-year-old woman, essentially had to suffered, and so all the surgeons, you know, they all knew, all right, that what had happened. All the surgeons got together. They went and talked to this doctor and said, "Hold her, you better change your act, and this is what you're going to do, and all that." But that was done private. Nobody knew about it. And then the surgeons had a big meeting. I was at that meeting. And make a long story short, they all talked. It was, you know, among the surgical community, they knew what the issues were. And they said, "Holder, you know, we're going to pass a hat. Every surgeon put in a couple $100, all right?" One of them was directed to take it to this lady's husband and say, "Listen, we think there's some issues here. You need to take this money." It was a couple $1,000. "Go to a lawyer so they can sue this doctor so you can get some compensation, all right?"
Now, that was not what I thought I expected. Listen, I was going to hear you say.
No, listen carefully. I mean,
so the surgeons wanted this other surgeon.
Yes. Now, here's the difference. In Canada, there's no two things. Number one, it's felt to be immoral and to have what we call, I'm trying to think the word for it now, but where you have, if if I win, I'll take. I won't charge you anything, but if I win, I'll take 50% of the
profits. Oh, right, yeah. If we lose, yeah. I get nothing. You're talking about the lawyers.
That's
pretty much the same here.
No, it's not. Here, if I...
I see. From the other side. Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha. Number two is there's no joint and several liability. Bottom line, if I'm in Canada, if I'm 100% wrong, I pay 100%. If I'm 1% wrong, I pay 1% wrong. Whereas in the United States, if I am a party to a suit and I'm 10% wrong, mm-hmm. but I'm the only one that has insurance, I'll pay 100% of the cost of the case. All right. So those are two major changes.
Okay. Well, back up. Just I got to make sure I understand that. So the way it works in the United States is give me a scenario. Somebody.
Let's say that I get sued or I get named in a suit, and I'm
named in a suit. In other words, other doctors.
Yeah, other being doctors. Sued. Okay. And let's say that I get sued, and so I'm part of this suit. What happens, Jazz, is that if I'm adjudicated to be 10% wrong, all right, I am not liable for that 10%, but if nobody else can pay up to 100% of that cost, from what I understand. The second thing, or third thing that happens, Jazz, because I worked in the neurosurgery field for years, I've been named in suits, I have been deposed, I've gone to trial, I've been expert witness, I think 48 times, all right? I'm tired of it, okay? But here's what happens. In fact, five years ago, I had one of the neurosurgeons in town sent me a patient and asked me to, with a failed back syndrome, that asked me to do a lumbar puncture on her, mm-hmm. right? I saw her one time. I essentially said, hold her, I'm not sure this is indicated. I need more records, all right? You need to get your records from UCLA. And that's it. She sued the neurosurgeon who operated on her. I was named in that suit. I got off it, all right? It took 2 years to get off it. But my malpractice company paid $120,000 in legal fees to get me off. All right? That's immoral in my books. I mean, that makes no sense. Do you follow what I'm saying?
You weren't responsible.
I had nothing to do with it. All right. In fact, I got off it. The lawyers said, listen, this guy didn't do anything about it. But it cost my insurance company $120,000.
So your rates go.
Sure. All right. Somebody has to pay for that.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
All right. So that we have to solve the malpractice issues. All right. That's the first thing. Number two, in this country, we have decided as a country, all right, that I look at buying insurance, health insurance, like buying cars, all right? We've talked about this before. But what we've said is, listen, everybody in this country deserves Rolls-Royce care, all right? We can't afford it, and we really don't do that. But that's what the modus operandi is. And what I'm saying is, Holder, we spend $1.3 trillion in this country. What I'm saying is, Holder, we need to change, have a dialogue along this country that we are no longer going to supply Rolls-Royce care for everybody. What I'm saying is, I think we'd be smarter to provide Yugo care, all right? Very basic care, heavy on preventative stuff, but Yugo care. If we provided the practice, you know what we do at the practice. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If we provided the practice, which is $99 a month, which covers for most people 92% of all their health care, everything, all right? If we provided the practice for every person, 350 million people in this country, you know what it would cost? It would cost $35 billion to cover 92% of all the health care instead of $1.3
trillion.
Now, think of it. If we give that free for everybody, all right? I'm not a fan of
government handouts.
But here's the bottom line. You can't go back. We'd be better off offering the practice to every person, and man, woman, and child in this country, and say, listen, that's all we're going to give you. Now, several things will happen once we do that. Number one, as you know, we have a limit on patients we see for each doctor, 1,100 versus 2,500 each to 4,500 each doctor sees normally for primary care. We do that because we want very good access. We want easy access. We want long appointments instead of 8.3 minutes per contact time. We want, 50 minutes, half an hour, time to do that kind of stuff, to do this good medicine. But more important than that, Jez, here's what happens when you do that. Number one is that if we say, Holder, we're going to give the practice to everybody, all right, for free. $99 a month is free. kids are $20 a month. It wouldn't cost us that much as a society. It's less than $35 billion to cover most of their health care. But we are going to say as a society is we will give you this for free. Heavy on prevention stuff, heavy on prenatal stuff, heavy on all the preventive stuff that has to happen. But here's what happens, Jez. Once you do that, now let's say I'm a poor guy that gets Medi-Cal now, all right, or Medicaid. I now know that I'm only going to get this basic coverage. Now, if I drink too much and I fry off my liver, all right, the government isn't going to pay for it. In fact, I'm going to die from it in a discussion. We, as a society, aren't going to do that. Now, I know that I can, if I want, I can pay extra money to raise it up to, you know, Buick Care, Chevrolet Care, Cadillac Care, Rolls-Royce Care if I want, all right? What that happens to, changes to society is, number one, when I do this, society is no longer going to bail me out if I do stupid things. I'm going to die. All of a sudden, it changes the personal responsibility, not to the state, but the patient. Mm-hmm. Do you follow? Mm-hmm. No, my gosh, I better not smoke because I could, or I better not do this, I better not do this, I better live healthy because I don't have extra insurance if I get in trouble, all right? Number two, something else really neat happens.
Well, let's take a break right here and come back, and we'll talk. We'll pick it up right there. We'll be right back, folks. 399-1560, by the way, if you'd like to speak with Dr. Mensink this afternoon. This is KNZR.
If you think the First Amendment protects your ability to stomp on a flag, but not the ability to call you a thug, you might be a brain-dead liberal. You're listening to Jazz McKay on KNZR.
Father, forgive them because they do not realize what they are doing to me. These were among the last words of Jesus. Easter.
Hi, my name is Curtis Floyd. Let's be honest. The insurance company...
That's the very essence of being a friend of the family.
Greenlawn Funeral Homes and Cemeteries. A friend of the family. With locations in Southwest and Northeast Bakersfield.
KNZR. Speaking the truth to power. You're listening to Jazz McKay on 1560 AM and 97.7 FM, KNZR.
Picking up where we left off with Dr. Mensink from The Practice, 871-3300 is the phone number to The Practice. 399-1560 is our number. If you have any questions for Dr. Mensink, be sure and jump on the phone, whatever whatever may be ailing you. So what next? If you were in charge of medicine,
so we've talked. Essentially, I would make a system like we're doing today. All right. Number two, one of the big criticisms of this, all right, is that, well, you know, you only take 1,100 patients versus double. It's going to cut the physician, makes the physician shortage worse, which it is right now. We have a terrible job of getting primary care doctors to see doctors. So essentially, we're just we're. Doctors, by the time they're 50, 55, are retiring, quitting, going, joining large practices, or going into administration. There's a terrible doctor shortage of primary care doctors, all right? Now, there's several reasons. Number one, they're burned out. They're tired of being on this treadmill, having to see. The only way you make money today as a doctor is seeing, 15, 20 patients in the morning, whereas I'll see five kind of thing.
Right.
And doing procedures and pushing them through faster and playing the coding game. What happens if you do what we do, all right? Essentially, the doctor's incomes for primary care will rise, all right? Now, once that happens, all right, let's say the primary care doctors are now making more than the specialists, all right? Something neat happens when you do that. First of all, everybody wants to go where the money is. Nobody's not, you change the dynamics of the healthcare system so that now people want to do primary care instead of cardiology or whatever.
Would that create a shortage of specialists?
Well, hold her. Now, once we do that and change those dynamics, you're going to have more people doing primary care. In Canada, for instance, the number of primary care doctors per versus specialists is, I think, 52% is primary care doc versus about less than 11 to 12%, 8 to 12%, depending on the state, in our country. When you have more people doing primary care and they can make very good money doing primary care versus all the money is made in the specialties, guess what happens? You get less surgical procedures done because that's how you make money today is doing doing procedures, mm-hmm. all right, there's less of those done. Number two, the quality of care goes up because you've got time to do very good medicine with these patients. There's less procedures done. And all of a sudden, there's more and more doctors wanting to go into primary care. And you shift the economic burden of medicine away from specialties now to primary care. And all of a sudden, primary care is where the money is for doctors. Well, and less procedures are done. And so, the cost of medicine starts to decrease.
Well, let me ask you this. So my gastroenterologist is Dr. Matuk.
Good man, by the way.
Great guy. I love him to death, man. Let's say he becomes then a primary care physician because there's more money to be made for him. Mm-hmm. Then who does the
what happens. As our practice models are made, all right? Each practice has certain things that are specialty. Like I do, because of what I've done in my background, everything that the practice model is, all right? Let's say you have a practice. Let's say you buy a franchise for a practice. You start a practice. I don't make money on procedures or doing things or seeing more patients. I make my money on your $79 a month, whether you come or not. It's just like a gym membership. Mm-hmm. But here's what happens, Jazz. Everything I do is to try to make the practice more value sensitive to my patients, all right? So the GI doctor, he's now able to do GI stuff. So he's going to offer the GI stuff in addition to his primary care to add more value to the patients.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
You
follow what I'm saying? I got you. So then you go to see the GI primary, and instead of sending you to a GI where you have to pay the $40 instead of the $20 in copay.
Sure, exactly. let's say you come to see me.
Okay,
all right?
I got you.
We do a lot of testosterone pellets, bioidentical testosterone, all right? And in town, they charge $800 to $1,500 to do this, all right? We charge $200. We charge for the pellets. We do them for free. I do that to add extra value to my patients. Do you follow? I don't make mm-hmm. money doing procedures. I make money on your $79 a month. I do that just to add extra value. I went to 2 weeks ago. I went to a conference. I was ecstatic because it looks like we're going to get our pellets, to about half the price. I don't look at it to make more money on pellets or that. I look at it to offer more value to my patients so I can have a better service for them mm-hmm. so that I have more people sign up, all right? It's
okay.
A different way of looking at it. So the GI doctor, he's going to say, I'm going to start a practice, all right, or this kind of model of practice. I'm going to now offer GI services for a fraction of what it usually would be because I'm now making my money on doing not procedures,
right.
but on their $79 a month. It's a different way of focusing it. So you see all of a sudden that the cost structure of medicine and doing things becomes lower and lower and lower. And once you get that competition going on, it drives the price down.
This is a free market solution you're describing.
That's exactly.
This is not government mandated.
That's correct.
But it's a free market solution that would free up so many of the doctors to be able to see patients specifically for not only for their specialty, but also for the
dynamics of medicine. Number two, it's going to make more and more primary care doctors available because of the income stratification changes mm-hmm. in medicine. Number three, it will cut down the amount of procedures. If you look at procedures in this country versus other countries with respect to medical necessity, it's just obscene what's going on kind of thing, all right? There's too many procedures done. And it will make the economics of medicine for the patient. Where can you go where you could get for most of your health care covered for less than $100 a month? Number two, for a doctor, where can he go where he can have this wonderful, fun practicing medicine? Number two, get rid of that treadmill and rat race he's on. And number three, he's going to do financially very, very well, all right? All of a sudden, all the money in medicine is going to go to primary care. And now less and less to the specialties. You're going to have more and more doctors. Let's say you have a GI doctor that becomes, wants to start a practice. He's going to be offering endoscopies for a fraction of the price, all right? Now it drives the cost down. Today, if you have a regular endoscopy, it's $2,500 to $3,500 that they charge insurance companies, all right? Our practice, we've negotiated with Dr. Matuk, as you know, and I think our price is $870. That's for the practice, for the anesthesia, for the surgery center for everything. Mm. All right. It's a third the regular price, a quarter the regular price. Once you see this happening, where the driver for medicine is to make it more value product for the patient, not I'm making money off the enrollment fee, not off the procedures I do. So the doctor's going to say, how can I offer more and more procedures for less and less money so I get more and more people to join
up? Now, would your plan that you would like to implement nationwide include our current medical insurance structure?
Jazz, I don't want to get rid of insurance, all right? I personally think that we would be smart offering, I don't know what we call it, changing Medicaid or Medi-Cal or whatever, free for everybody. $99, give them a practice-style practice around the country, every person, if we did that. Because that would get the most bang for the buck, all right? Number two, it changes the personal responsibility for people. Now they have to pay if they want added care, if they want to rise it up to Buick Care or Rolls-Royce Care or whatever they want, all right? Number three, it changes the financial incentives for doctors. So doctors now make more money doing primary care. The emphasis now, Jazz, is not to do how many procedures I can do, but instead the emphasis for the doctor is how can I add more and more value to the patient so I can get more and more patients joined up. It changes the cost structure so that now it's no longer a fee-for-service-based procedure where I have to push them through as fast as I can to make more money, play the coding game, and do as many procedures as I can. It changes that dynamic so that now the dynamic is, how can I offer more and more services? Let's say you have a cardiologist who wants to start a practice. He's going to say, my gosh, how can I do it to make it more and more service? Maybe I can offer my ultrasounds for X amount of dollars instead of $400
or $700. Well, charging $400 because the insurance companies only pay pennies on the dollar.
I understand, Jazz. I understand. So that's the first thing that has to happen, all right? Now, that's a major cost shift changing, and it's a major way of thinking about how we look at medicine for our society. We're no longer going to offer fancy surgeries or we as a society, if you get a heart attack, I'm sorry you didn't buy extra insurance. We're going to just give you basic care. You can die. I'm sorry. No, we don't quite say it that way, and that's not the way I mean it. But that becomes now personal responsibility. My gosh, I better buy extra care so I can cover this heart attack or whatever I'm going to need. Number two I have to be careful. I better live a very good, I better not smoke, I better not do this, I better change my diet, I better exercise, do all these things. Now there's more incentive for personal change in our lifestyles.
But does your plan include pre-existing conditions? You brought up a heart attack. So I have a heart attack. I don't have insurance to cover that. So I'm left to languish, or do I buy?
Or you would, if you didn't take personal responsibility to buy added coverage, all right, I'm sorry you languish. I don't know if that's the right word we'd say it. Do you follow what I'm saying? But it is no longer the state's responsibility to do that, all right? What happens when you do that? And this is a major shift in our thinking as a country, all right? But once you do that, amazing things happen. I'm not sure where you draw that line, all right? That's for debate as a society, all right? And I'm being extreme with just saying the practice, okay? I personally think that we should change that line a little bit different, so we do gallbladder surgery, we do a lot of other things too in there. But we have to change the dynamics and the conversation in the country so that we don't offer Rolls-Royce healthcare for everybody. All right? Mm. And I don't care where we as society want to draw that line. It could be Yugo Care. It could be Volkswagen Care. It could be Hyundai Care. I don't care where we do it. I don't care if we do whatever. Give everybody Buick Care for all I care. The issue is once we do that and decide that major change as a society of what we're going to do, it changes the dynamic for people to say, holder, I am going to change my personal responsibility. I now better buy insurance for this or for that or whatever, all right? All of a sudden when you do that, you no longer change the insurance market. In fact, if you did a whole bunch of other neat things with insurance that I really don't want to get into here, you would make it much better for insurers, all right? Number two once you do what we're talking about, you're adding making the marketplace change the cost structure. Today, there is no market structure of of how you price medical care. You go to the hospital or you go to this doctor, there's no, I mean, we have prices listed how much we charge for everything we offer, all right? That doesn't exist in medicine, really, if you look at
No, I know. It's like going to the mechanic or going to get a car, or I should say an oil change. And you'll be inside there. It'll be five different prices for oil changes based on whether you want synthetic oil or what.
Yeah, and what I'm saying is a society, we're going to give the cheapest oil that we can. You know what I mean? If you want to pay extra yourself to buy synthetic or whatever, be my guest, all right? And it's a way of thinking of and I think in the long run, Chaz, as I say, I'm against government programs, all right? Everything is against what I'm telling you. But we can't go back, all right? This whole idea of repeal Obamacare. Mm-hmm. All right? All of a sudden the dynamic has changed. Well, it's repeal and replace, all right? Why is that happening?
Why replace it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
other than deregulation on insurance being sold across state lines, tort reform in regards to lawsuits, against doctors for malpractice. I can't see much of anything that the government could possibly do. I mean, that empowers the private sector. What I just described empowers the private sector, and competition comes into play.
What I'm saying is going to add competition to the medical system.
That's what it needs.
Literally. So, and once you do that, once you add competition, number two, once you change the price structure so that primary care doctors, that's where the money is. Literally what happens, Jazz, is you are changing the dynamics and this medical system will solve itself, the problems,
gotcha,
on its own. And it's a different way of looking at it. But I've come to the point where, God forbid I'm saying I want government health care.
No, you better not.
But that's what I'm saying is we have to... We're to the point where we are losing right now. We are losing. The medical care, private primary care is dying in this country, Jazz. It's dying. It's so sad what's happening. And it would change that dynamic because now the incentive would be for primary care. The incentive would be to make it so it's more and more value to the patient.
Dr. Mensing, I appreciate that. It's interesting. Do you have anything written up on that on your website?
No, I don't. It's political. I don't want to go there.
You need to. No, it's not political. It's just a common sense solution to a very complicated problem.
Well, there's lots of issues to this. I mean, there is no easy answer.
Right.
All right.
Right.
What I'm talking about is some sea change, major changes in society of how we look at medical care.
Gotcha.
All right. But think of it. Instead of our government spending $1.3 trillion with a T for medical care, we are changing only $35 billion for over 90% of all people's care. Look at the dynamics of what would happen with that.
Excellent, absolutely. Folks, go to drmensink.com. That's drmensink.com. 871-3300 is the phone number for the practice. Make an appointment.
By the way, what I should be saying is for my pack that I'm for when I run.
Your political action committee when you run for office, right?
No, I'm not planning by any means to do that.
Doc, good to see you, buddy. We'll be back. More of the Jazz McKay Show coming up right here on KNZR.
Here is your KNZR news update. A family of nine suffered mild to moderate injuries after a car hit their SUV early this morning. Authorities report that around 1:30, the family was on the side of the road on southbound I-5 near 7th Standard when their vehicle was hit by a passing car. The family was trying to change a flat tire when the incident occurred. There was also a multi-car accident yesterday evening in southwest Bakersfield that left three people injured.